It's the 2nd of April 2013, and we're here at Gloucestershire Archives. My name's Ollie Taylor, and I have with me Ramsey Harris and Molly Harris as well. And they've just come in to talk to us a little bit about their memories of working for Fielding & Platt in Gloucester. So, first of all, Ramsey, could I just ask you to introduce yourself with your name, when you were born, the years that you worked for Fielding & Platt, and the job that you did for them, please?
Hello, I'm Ramsey Albert George Harris. I started, my birthday is the 26th of January, 1924. I started work at Fielding's towards the end of July 1939. And I stayed there until 1975, end of April, when I was made redundant.
And Ramsey, were you taken on in 1939 as an apprentice?
Yes. I was taken on as an apprentice, and I went for 2 years down. I started off in the fitting shop, which the foreman then was Bill Click. After 12 months there, I went up to the top machine shop, as it was known, on the marking off table. And I was there for approximately 18 months, I suppose. From then, I went into the drawing office.
Yeah. So there was no craft school or apprentice school at that time?
That's before any of that started, yeah. That's right.
So you would have been going straight from school to Fielding's?
Yes, that's right, yeah. Yes, I was at the Junior Technical School in Brunswick Road when it was part of the library, really, and the museum. And I started there in 1937 and left in 1939.
And had you done anything at the technical school to prepare you for what you were going to do at Fielding & Platt?
Yeah, we did maths, electrical work, physics, science, engineering drawing, metalwork and woodwork.
And what sort of things would you have done in metalwork and woodwork, which presumably would have been most like what you initially did at Fielding's?
Yeah, well, with regard to metalwork, we had to make a certain plate metalwork, and we could also do a bit of lathe turning as well. We were introduced to that. And also then with the carpentry, we sort of made our own plan of what we wanted to make, and I think I made a pipe rack from memory anyhow.
Yeah. Why did you choose that?
Well, I'd never done any carpentry before, and living in the country, there was no electricity, nothing at all, no gas, nothing. We didn't even have water laid on at that time, and it was a question of what was simple, what was set to go, and make it from there.
And do you remember your teachers there? Do you remember their names or what they were like?
Yes. There was Paddy Armin. He took us from maths, electricity, science. There was George Waddington Jones, who took us for engineering drawing. There was Taffy Jones, who took us for English and literature. And there was Sumption, Herbert Sumption, who took us for metalwork.
You've got a formidable memory, remembering all these names.
With regard to carpentry, there was West, Mr. West, who ultimately, I believe, went down to take over the technical school or college in Southampton.
Herbert Sumption, you said, was the metalwork teacher.
Yes.
What was he like as a person? Did he encourage you to go into Fielding & Platt?
He actually served at Fielding & Platt. He worked at Fielding & Platt at one time, and he was a machinist. And, he was excellent in his work, yeah, and his way of telling you what to do and how to do it, yeah.
And what did he ever talk about Fielding and Platt when he was instructing you, telling you that it was a good career prospect?
Well, no. Careers weren't really entered into until we were ready to finish with the Tech, start off. Quite a few of the people, the students that were there, went to the post office or British telephone, I suppose, telegraph people, as they were there. But no, we all seemed to disintegrate. And of course, the war came along not long after. And we left school and we went. You know, we separated, no one knew.
And were you? Did anyone else that you went to the technical college with go with you to Fielding and Platt?
Yes, there was one lad there, Harold Lacey, went to Fielding's. I don't know whether he went there direct from the Tech or at a later date, but I know he came there for a time. I don't know of anyone else at that time. No, yeah.
And so when you left the Tech and you first went to Fielding and Platt, although you perhaps might have heard of it from Herbert Sumption, was it the first time that you'd actually seen the works and the scale of the machinery there?
Yes, it was the first time, yeah. As a matter of fact, Fielding's had advertised in the local Citizen, I mentioned this to one of the masters. He said, we can cut this short. He said, I'll phone up and get an appointment for you. And he did. I went down there. I think I went down there on the, I think it was a Thursday or the Friday, and I started work on the Monday or something like that. It was just as quick as that. Yeah.
And that Thursday or Friday that you went down, what actually happened on that day? Was there an interview as such?
Yes, I met Mr. Harry Bedford, who was works manager.
And what was Harry Bedford like? How did he greet you?
He was a great fellow. He was a great fellow, yeah. Yeah. He was very knowledgeable. He was greeted with respect right throughout the works. He used to come in about 8 o'clock in the morning, and he always came in a certain way. And as soon as the doors opened and he came in, is Mr. Bedford coming? Everybody got down to work, you know, harder than their group before. Yeah. Yeah. He was a good man.
And what did he ask you on when you first met him? Do you remember that, the process of the interview? Or what sort of, did he want to know about your schooling at all?
Yes, he wanted to know. He wanted to know, you know, what I thought of it and all the rest of it. That the idea was that I would spend so much time in the works and then go into the drawing office. This was at the first time that practical experience had entered into an apprenticeship at an early age before going on into other sections. It's a heck of a long time to remember back to those days, really. But
but everything went well, obviously, and
Yes. Harry Bedford remained a very good friend. He really did right the way through, until he left and retired, actually. And it was through him that I got tied up with aluminium tubing producing. It was when lead was a terrible price after the war, of course, and. There was a firm down in Gravesend, Henley Cables, that had bought a press, and they were going to try and do a continuous sheathing of wire. And I was involved in that.
We'll come on to that, yeah. I'm for certain.
It really taxed my memory. Yeah.
But you said that after when you first started, you went into the fitting shop.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What was that place like when you started in 1939? The sights, the sounds, the smells.
Not ready. yes. Well, the first winter of 1939 was quite hard. It was a very hard winter. all there was a couple of coke fire stoves in the middle of the shop floor. And my first job, there were some presses being manufactured, and there was big columns, about so diameter. And it was my job, the first job I can remember, was sawing the ends off, because they'd been turned down, sawing the ends off, and then using a hammer and chisel just to flush it off with the main column. Yeah, now the bruises have gone now. But yes, that's right.
With a handsaw?
Oh, yes, with an ordinary handsaw, yeah, yeah. The, I suppose the... got a pen... Or a pencil, just a minute. Yeah. It, the ends of the column, of course, were like in threads, like that, and the column threads the other end. They turned it down so there was just a small shaft there, because that's what it was mounted on, end to end, you see, and turned it. Screw threads around this end. And it was getting a handsaw in there, sawing that off, and then using a hammer and chisel and getting that down, and then using a file and making it smooth at the end.
And what sort of diameters are we talking here, sizes?
10, 12 inches, 10 inches, possibly. Yeah.
And how long did that take you to do one of those?
I've no idea. No. 3 hours, perhaps, just for one end, yeah.
And how long did you do that job for when you first started? Were there a number of those things to do?
There was about four columns to do, so that was a start off, you see, and then there was other things that came along, and, yeah, you had to polish the brasses up and so on like that.
Typical apprentice job.
Typical apprentice job, yeah. And really, it hasn't altered today, I don't suppose, for 1 minute. Except today, I mean, the machining would be, if you were on mass production, it would be done automatically, so there'd be nothing to do like that.
Were you the only apprentice in the fitting shop?
No, there were two others came along. Oh gosh, I'm trying to think of the names. Yeah.
Like you say, it was a long time ago.
Well, yeah, yes. There was one came in, I think he used to live at Middlesworth.
It's okay if you don't remember.
No, I can't remember. He's dead now, but he died years ago, actually. But, yeah.
And they were given similar jobs to you?
Yes, that's right, yeah. Yeah, and ultimately, when you finished on the big stuff, you moved over to the workbench where you had your own vice and so on, and you did other things. Yeah.
And as apprentices together in the fitting shop, would you have knocked around together rather than being with the main journeymen that were there, or did everyone sort of mingle together?
You were allocated to a fitter, to a man who'd come out of his time. Yeah. And he was the one that told you what to do, and more or less how to do it.
Do you remember who you were assigned to?
Yeah, Len Leach. Yeah.
And what was he like?
He has played rugby. He played for Gloucester City at one time. I think one of his last games was against Swansea or something like that. And... it was a rough game, evidently, by what he said. But, yeah. He left and he went to a factory over in Stroud. He's dead now. Mm.
And was he a good instructor?
Oh, yes, he was good. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, he was very good.
Was it good to be assigned to someone? Had you known that he played rugby for Gloucester?
Did I know? Yeah. No, I didn't know until he told me, or at least I heard his leg being pulled about it, you know, that you ought to go back and play again. in his comment was not likely. Yeah.
And so how long would you have been in the fitting shop altogether then before you moved on?
Oh, it must have been about 12 months or so, I think. Yeah, yeah.
And where did you go after that?
I went up to the top machine shop.